If you'd open your Bibles to Romans chapter 1, we handed out the Family Bible Hour there to you. That should be one whole year's worth of studies. And I don't know when I'm going to start it. So at least you can have it with you. We still have, I think, two lessons from last year's that we want to finish up at some point in time. But I'm not in a hurry to get to them right now. I wanted to actually do some teaching in some other areas. And so, Lord willing, next week we'll go into a, not necessarily a verse-by-verse study, but I wanted to go in, felt the Lord led me to go take us into the book of Philippians for the new year and just do a study through Philippians, take our time going through it, however long it takes, and then we'll consider the Family Bible Hour stuff after that. Romans chapter 1. I guess I got PowerPoint here. I'm not with it right now. And in Romans 1, we're going to talk about Paul's three I ams. Paul's three I ams that are here in Romans 1, verses 14 through 16, if you'd like to follow along. Paul writes, and here's your first one, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am, there's your second one, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. And then your third one, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. In these three verses here of Romans 1, three different times, the Apostle Paul uses the phrase, I am. And each one of these statements that he uses carries a very important message individually, and then they are formed as a unit concerning how important it is for us in 2026 to carry out the gospel of Christ. It's safe to say that all of us know someone who we rub shoulders with. It could be family, friends, it could be co-workers, neighbors. We all know someone, at least, and probably more than one, that doesn't know Christ as their Savior. And that the Lord, we know in Scripture, is not willing that any should perish. And so you're the one, and I'm the one, that He has placed in their vicinity to share that gospel, that good news, and we have no excuse for not. Gladly you have received, amen? He says, freely you have received, freely give. And so we need to be more generous in our giving this year. And I'm not even talking about the finances. I'm talking about in your sharing the gospel. There used to be a theme that people would have. They would always say in the church, each one, reach one. Do you realize that if that was an accurate, lived out application, the church by the end of this year would be double its size at minimum? I don't know if you guys want the church to grow or not. But if it would be great to see people that you know and have shared the truth with to come to Christ. And this is where Paul is at as we look at these three I ams in Scripture. And so let's ask God's blessing upon this. And we do have a business meeting on the annual business meeting that will follow. So I'll try to keep this as short as possible so that we can get into that right afterwards. Let's go ahead and ask the Lord's blessing. Father, as we look here at the writings of Paul here in Romans chapter 1 and these three I ams, Lord, could it and would it and will it be said of us that we have the same I ams as him and that there is evidence of that these statements in our life as they were in his this new year? Just add your blessing now, Lord, and may you challenge us and change us, Lord. You're the one that can do all this. In Jesus' name, amen. The first I am is in verse number 14, where Paul says, I am debtor. I am debtor. And then he says, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, to the wise and to the unwise. So in his I am, the very first one, he declares unto us that he is a debtor. The word debtor means one who owes another in the Greek. You and I owe another. And the other that we owe isn't even the person that we should be witnessing to. It's that we owe him for what he's done for us, to share what he's done for us, and thus share with others. So it's a debt that we have, not for salvation of ours. We believe that we're saved by grace through faith, but it's for salvation in us taking the good news. If it's really that good, if we really believe that it saves men from an eternal destination called hell and the lake of fire, then it seems like that we would be willing to do something about that. And that's sad. Many times we as believers, there are probably, and I don't know here, but there's probably people here that are Christians who have never, ever led a single other person to Christ. And it is a great experience, or it's been a while since we've done that. It's a great experience. And Paul begins talking here that I am a debtor. I'm one who owes another. And Paul says that he's a debtor to all men, and that is to tell them of the saving work of Christ. But why does he feel indebted to people, many perhaps that he's never even seen, talked to, or even knows? That means we are not only indebted to be obedient to our Savior. Y'all believe in obeying the Lord, right? Is obedience good or bad? It's good. We all know that. The Bible says, he that knoweth to do what? Good, and doeth it not, is what? It's sin. So could we be guilty closing out 2025 and entering into 2026, carrying that load of sin, of disobedience, for not sharing the debt that we owe? Now, there are several reasons why he is feeling indebted. And the first one is that he had in his possession what those around him needed. What they needed to be saved from the penalty of sin and from the power of sin. How many of you have been saved? Say amen. How many of you have the tools, the Word of God, and the Spirit indwelling within you to share the gospel? Say amen. It's there. We already are equipped, are we not? If I was walking down the street, or if you were walking down the street and you're on a regular walk and you're walking across some railroad tracks, and you happen to see a drunk who had passed out laying across the tracks, and as you walked by, you looked at him and you just kept going, and then you saw a train coming and you did nothing, and that train ran over the drunk. If you were standing on a deck or in a boat, and you looked out and you saw a person out there crying for help that they were drowning, and you looked and you had a life preserver or a life jacket next to you, and you did not take it and throw it to them. If you were walking through your neighborhood early one morning and you smelled smoke and you looked and you saw one of your neighbor's homes that you don't even know the person, you just know that's where they live, was in flames and didn't go up to the house and try to bang on the door and wake people and alert them. Would you be guilty if these people died? Let me just throw it out a little bit harder. Would you be guilty of murder, knowing that you had what you could have done to save that individual or that person? If we are going through 2026, 365 days, and every day we walk by, we see with our eyes, we know that the majority of people are without Christ. They're dead in their trespasses and sins, and yet we have what it takes from our testimony to our personal sharing the gospel with them through the word, or even the easiest one, taking and having gospel literature on you and say, when you get a chance, would you please read this? If we don't try to warn them and they die in their sins, are we not guilty? The scripture says that their blood is on our hands. Imagine how easy it is to hear that in an air-conditioned or a heated, padded seat in a comfortable surrounding. But imagine if we take no heed to that, and one day we are standing before the Lord Himself, and He asks, why didn't you do anything? What reason, what excuse is what it really is, do we have? We know, we've heard it, and we go on never bringing a person with us to Christ. Paul said when he was writing to one of the churches, he told the people, you are our crown and joy of rejoicing. It wasn't the premises. We got a nice facility, praise the Lord. But this is not the crown and the rejoicing that we should have in this building. We might have some good programs going on. It's not the premises, it's not the programs that we have, no matter how good they may be, that's our rejoicing. It's people. Paul said, you are our crown of rejoicing. It's the people. How many crowns of rejoicing do you want when you get there before to give back to the Lord? I'm sure it would be, in any church, an embarrassment for the pastor to say, how many of you can stand and say, I have never, ever led anybody to Christ? How many of you could stand and say, I've never even tried to give out the good news? And it would bring shame to us, and we would not want the pastor to do that, and I wouldn't blame us. But the Lord is watching us. And I tell you, there's going to be a greater shame in that day if we've done nothing. So Paul is saying, I am a debtor. And until we see that we are a debtor, we won't do anything. If we don't tell them the message of salvation that we say saved us to these lost people around us, hundreds of them, dozens of them, thousands of them throughout this next year. If we do not tell them, am I guilty of them dying if they die without Christ? Further, the Apostle Paul felt himself to be a debtor to others because the Christ who died for his sins had also died for theirs. He tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 and 15, he says, Christ died for all. That means as I'm walking down the street, as I'm in the workplace, as I'm meeting people in line of business or in the grocery store or wherever it is, if that's a true statement, if the Bible is true, God cannot lie, and that statement means that Paul is writing here that Christ died for all. That means there is nobody that you and I come in contact with which is not eligible to hear the good news. It's up to them what they do with it. Receive it, reject it, whatever. But Christ died for them. It says here that Christ died for all. Now listen, that they which live, those that have been born again, the Christian now, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him who died for them and rose again. So at some point in time, somebody presented the gospel to me, and I was bought with a price. Therefore, I'm to glorify God in my body and my spirit, which are the Lord's. Paul tells us also in Romans that we're to reckon ourselves dead indeed unto sin and alive unto God, and that we're not to use our members, whether it's our eyes, our ears, our nose, our mouth, our hands, our feet, as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but unto righteousness unto God. That means doing the will of God and the work of God with these members. Christ died for all that they which lived, who received the gift of God, should not henceforth live unto themselves. Let me ask you a question. If I don't share the gospel, if I don't leave gospel literature, if I don't witness to people, am I living to myself or to the Lord? I'm assuming it's a silence not because you don't know, it's a silence because we're all under conviction that we do know. And men and women, young and old, their souls are at stake because God's put you in the midst of these people that you see many times weekly and even daily. And so Christ is moving him to write these things to hopefully move him and then to move us. You see, the Christ that died for Paul's sins had also commissioned Paul to tell others that Christ died for their sins. It moved the Apostle Paul so much as he began to take these thoughts that are now scripture, and to dwell upon them and think. The Bible says, think on these things. And sometimes we read so quickly and gloss over so much that we don't stop and meditate on these things. And it caused Paul to write something else. And in 1 Corinthians 9, he says, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. This woe isn't like something bad is going to happen to me. It's talking about woe unto me if I preach not. He goes, there's going to be heavy, heavy grief for me for not sharing the glad tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. The Christmas story. He goes on in verse 17. He says, for a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. The word dispensation here talks about stewardship, a time frame. Paul says, God has given me my life since I've been a Christian from this point to this point when I die or go to be with the Lord. I have that dispensation, that time frame to steward, take the truths of the things of God, and as his steward, make good use of them. You see, when you and I don't go out and do what we're talking about here, we are no more, well, we're no better off than the one who went and hid his, buried his talent. We had something precious, and we never used it for him. we've neglected our dispensation, our time frame that God gave us to share the good news. Woe unto you and me. As a matter of fact, Paul goes on later, and he says that necessity is laid upon me. It's something that's been laid upon him by God. This is a necessary thing that you do, Paul. And Paul's writing to the church, this is a necessary thing that you do, as I do, because God told us to do it. Or it will be woe unto us. Now, Paul could go on further and say to every born-again, true, blood-bought believer, not just, I'm a debtor, but rather, I'm a debtor, and so I'm ready. I know who I am, and I know my response now. So, as much as in me is, that's what he says, so, in verse 15, so as much as in me is, I am ready. Ready to what, Paul? To preach. To, and by the way, the word preach isn't talking about getting even behind the pulpit and preaching. It's just going out and proclaiming, telling other people the gospel. Christ died for your sins, was buried, and then he rose again. We all know the gospel. We've all have something that has happened to us that we can go and speak by way of experience. We've experienced it because we've been born again. And so we see, I am a debtor. I am ready to preach the gospel. He was ready to discharge his debt, to pay his debt, because he had that which to discharge. If you're not saved, you have nothing to discharge. There's no debt upon you. It's when you are saved, raised from the dead to walk in newness of life, that you have a debt now to go and tell others, I am one beggar telling another beggar where I found bread. That's all it is. And so Paul is now challenging the saints. You need to be also declaring that not only you're a debtor, but you're ready to discharge that debt by sharing the good news. If it's really that good, why would you hold it back? There is a guy, I like watching Illusions and stuff. There's a team of illusionists by the name of Penn and Teller. Penn is the tall, outspoken one, and Teller is a short guy who never talks. Somewhere on my phone, I don't have time to look it up, Penn is a full-fledged atheist. He'll tell you all about it. Isn't it funny how atheists aren't afraid to declare their belief, and yet many times Christians are? He's a full-fledged atheist. He might be a nice atheist, and he's a really good illusionist, but he is nonetheless an atheist. And he has a statement that he says, and I can't quote it perfectly without looking it up, but he says, how can a person believe what Christianity teaches and then do nothing about it? It throws him off. How can you say that this is what God did for you and saved you and you are on your way to this eternal damnation, and yet now that you have it, you won't go share it? I would have to agree with him. It's contradiction. And he thinks it's hypocrisy in the highest if it's a truth. He's ready to discharge his debt because he had what they needed. The gospel, look what it says, the gospel of the grace of God. And by the way, when it says I am ready, the word ready means I am willing. I'm not talking about doing it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to continue to do it. And Paul indeed did make the message known to others with all that was in him. He even said something that's amazing about the Romans. He said he was so indebted and wanted to so ready to give them the gospel that he says that I myself, Paul said, am willing to be accursed for my brethren and my people. I was thinking about that the other day. What if all of a sudden you find out that you've had a Christian home, done what you felt was the right things to do in training up your children? What if all of a sudden one of your children come and said, you know what, I don't believe this anymore. As an adult, they reject the truth. And I started really dwelling on that. I think I would almost do like Job did when he found out that he had lost all of his kids. If one of my children come up to me for say and said, I don't believe this anymore, Dad, I think I'd almost fall to the ground on my face and weep. Almost like Moses did when he saw that they were rebelling against Moses and God's authority, how Moses fell to the ground and weep. But then I start thinking, the level that Paul was talking about, would I be willing to walk up to them and say, you know what, my prayer is if you choose to just go the different direction, I'm praying that God would put the curse on me to let you go free. Now that's easy to say, isn't it? If it was a child of yours, I would rather have God curse me and send me off into eternity than to let my child go. Let me pay that for my son or for my daughter or for my whatever. Then I started thinking about it. 100 years ends, 1,000, 1,000,000, 1,000,000,000, 1,000,000,000,000. You could go on out into light years of eternity and know that it's just now beginning. There's no avenues out. There's no changing your mind. Would you be willing to do that for a loved one? Paul said he wished. Well, he also knew that God can't do that. He already had only one that paid the price. But that's the level of his love, of his readiness, of his willingness. And we look at it as, well, we can't do it today. It's too cold. I didn't do this. We have all of our nonchalant excuses. He says, I am ready to begin to discharge this. I'm a debtor. I want to discharge my debt with the good news, and I'm ready and I'm willing. That was the second I am, but there's one more. Verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. The third I am, we see he says, I am a debtor, so I am ready because I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Verse 16. Perhaps we don't do what we should be doing in sharing the gospel because we are ashamed. That's kind of a hard word that Paul uses there. We don't all want to say that I'm ashamed of the gospel, do we? We don't want to say, you know what, when it comes down to it, I am really ashamed of the gospel. I'm ashamed of the good news. I'm ashamed that Christ died for me and was buried and rose again. That's what he's talking about. Are you ashamed of the gospel? He says, I'm not. I am not. And when you look up that word ashamed in the New Testament in Greek, it's words that we have that might be a little bit more revealing. He uses a strong word. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It would be one of our English words today. Are you embarrassed of Christ? Are you embarrassed to share the gospel? It carries the word of embarrassment. I would be embarrassed to do that. It also gets into the area of being bashful. Now, that's an easier, lighter term. But it means the same thing. I'm kind of bashful and shy. So we use that as our excuse. Well, that's not my personality. It's not supposed to be your personality. It's supposed to be the Holy Spirit of God through you. So it's not your personality. Are you bashful about it? Here's another one. There was four of them. To be hesitant. I don't know. A hesitant person will be the type that knows what they need to do, and they'll start kind of reasoning in their thinking until the opportunity passes and they walk away feeling better about themselves. They're hesitant. And then the other one is simply they're reluctant. To be reluctant, to be bashful, to be hesitant, to feel embarrassed, which you might think, oh, those are a little bit easier. I could more relate to those, is still being ashamed of Jesus Christ. Paul was always proud to own Christ as his mighty, mighty Savior. No embarrassment with Paul. No bashfulness. He wasn't ever reluctant or hesitant. He was not any of those. He was not ashamed of the gospel because he knew it was the only thing that could save a man from eternal torment. That could save a man from closing his eyes in this life and opening them up into flames of torment for eternity. The only Savior from sin. Do you know Christ as your Savior? Do you tell others of his wonderful grace? Will you tell others? Will you share your faith? Not reluctantly, in 2026. He says, I'm a debtor. I am ready. He goes, and I am not ashamed. That's what we call our theme this year is higher ground. Will you go to higher ground in your witnessing this year? Will we see numerical growth because we are bringing someone in that God allowed us to bring and point to Christ? Andrew first went and found his brother Peter. Paul's three I ams. You know what would be really, really cool and probably very, very pleasing with the Lord is if Paul's three I ams were yours and mine. The funny thing is, they can be. Or else we'll have our reasons or excuses to ease what we don't want to do, which really calls into question the genuineness of our own faith. Let's stand for prayer. May God encourage you to go out when you leave here. Take some gospel tracts with you, folks. They're there. They are costing you nothing. And just give them. Hey, when you get a chance, even if you don't start talking with people, if you get a chance, please read this. And if you know them, say, get back with me and tell me what you think. And let the doors open for people to get saved that you know or come in contact with in 2026. Father, we close this out asking that you would just bless now. May it do a work in us, dear Father, not because of me asking, but because of your Holy Spirit. Even after the services are done and we all go home, may your Holy Spirit not let up on us about those that we need to share the good news with, the gospel of Christ. May we have the tools, may we have the gospel literature, whatever it is, the boldness, the courage, dear Father, may it come from you. And we ask, Father, that you'll receive the glory for it, because we know that by your grace, men will be saved. Our debt will be discharged, and others will be raised up to do the same. We pray this in Jesus' name.